Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm humble this evening, as I can see there are many better speakers than myself. I love just stay at the background and listen, but when the Lord calls you to speak, I cannot say no. I am not a speaker, but I am bringing the word of the Lord this evening. So please listen to his word and not mine. Let us close our eyes and let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I humbly ask for your holy presence to be in the midst of our worship this evening. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may hear your words, your instructions and leading, that we may be purified and be ready for your second return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our study this evening is found in the book of Luke 21, verse 36. Jesus says, "Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." I entitled the message this evening, "Watch and Pray." I have a cousin back in the Philippines who is a retired scout ranger. I don't know if you heard that before. A scout ranger is a type of a special forces in the military. We are very close cousin, but he was more like an uncle to me. On the rare occasion when he was home, he would tell us so many interesting stories about when they went on mission. Story after stories. It was so interesting, and I love listening to his stories. So while making this message, Watch and Pray, I remembered one of his story. When they went out for a military mission, which is many years ago, it might not be the same now as they have much better technology today. But during that time, in order to make sure a place which they were going to rest or set a camp was safe before and after, they needed a sniper, which is like a spy, to check out the whole place. So they will send a sniper in first, who was also called the radio man or a watchman. He would go ahead before the battalion moves into the specific area. They will wear this camouflage clothing, making sure that nobody will see them. They will then climb up stealthily the tallest trees to see the whole place so they can monitor the immediate and surrounding areas. Some will hide on the cliff tops and some at the top of the trees. From a high vantage point, they now can watch and look out for anyone coming. When the enemy is identified, the radio man will see from afar and give warning to the group to get ready and prepare. The warning will lead to instructions for either attack, defense, or move. He calls using the radio that is connected to their camp and provide early warning to the whole group. To be a radio man or a watchman, he needs to watch day and night. His eyes must be very sharp. His ears must be very sensitive to hear any kinds of noise. the life of his group depends on him. Many times, my cousin's group was saved from danger, from danger and have had successful mission because of his excellency in his job. He received many awards for being a great watchman. The Bible says we must be watching and praying always. It's like Arabian men in the military. My point here is that watching and praying is very important, very necessary for us to achieve the divine life that our Lord wants us to have and knows that we can have. The only safety is to live like a watchman. There is no other safety but to keep watching and praying day and night. It will help us to deal with temptations, avoid failures, and overcome failures, and also avoid great distractions. Wherever you go, temptation is there. I remember a friend of mine said to me, "We will move to the countryside so that there will be no temptations." But when Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan is there. Even in the wilderness, Satan is there. In this world, there is no safe place to go. The only things we can do, to be safe, is to keep watching and praying to our God, and He will move us through the Holy Spirit. In Mark 13, verse 33, "Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." We must be always attentive and ready in all times. And also, Paul says in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, "Look carefully then how you walk," even the way we walk. We need to look carefully, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. In our life journey, we have things that we need to watch for. We're going to look at four areas of our lives which we can watch for. And number one is watch if we speak hastily, fretfully, and impatiently. Jesus says in Matthew 12:36, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." We will be judged from our hearts, but from our hearts, the mouth speaks. How do we talk to our husband or to our wives, to our children, to our friends? In Proverbs 13, verse 3, it says there, "He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction." It clearly says that we must watch carefully the way we speak. In James 3, verses 5 and 6, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that is defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." There is reason our tongues is double guarded in our mouths. First, the teeth, and then the lips for safekeeping. we must watch our tongues, because in James 3:10 it says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. The second thing that we need to watch is, watch if pride is found in our heart. I remember the story of King Nebuchadnezzar, while walking around in his beautiful palace, proudly thinking about all the wonderful things he had done. Suddenly, he lost his mind, and he was in the field eating the grass like the animal. We need to be watchful of being proud. Thinking we don't need to change, we are already doing great. Nobody can tell us what to do because we are higher than other people. Higher in positions, degrees, or wealth, or even in our knowledge. Watch if pride found in our heart. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty or arrogant spirit before a fall. And also in James 4:6, it says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. If we want favor from God, if we want grace from God, we must humble ourselves first. How can we see that we are proud? The Bible says we must examine ourselves daily. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, it says, but let a man examine himself. In Psalms 26, verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my heart and my mind. Watch if pride is found in our heart. The third one that we need to watch is, watch if evil passion overcomes us. There are habits that we have in ourselves that it is not acceptable to Christ. But sometimes we excuse these things to be accepted, even though it is not. For example, anger is an evil passion. But sometimes we think it is acceptable because the Bible says, be angry and do not sin. But we forget in the same sentence, it says, do not let the sun go down upon your anger. In other words, you need to make right what you did wrong before the day is over. In Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It's the same thing with irritability, impatience, and intemperance, which can also be overeating or even overworking. Another one is an unforgiving spirit. We sometimes feel we cannot forgive. That person did really mean things to me that I cannot forgive them. And it is so easy to say, I forgive him, but I cannot forget what he did. We need to watch if evil passion overcomes us. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We must watch if evil passion come in our church as well. Sometimes we don't realize some of these things are actually not acceptable. In our churches, we may dress nicely, modestly, modesty, which is good, and sit quietly, but our love for people, as Christ loved people, is cold. And sometimes we are more worried about the way things look and are formally done than our hearts fully given to the Lord and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Also, the music in some churches is becoming like the worldly music nowadays. Music is a language, and the language of the world is sensual and evil passion. We must be careful not to listen, to let music become the same way, to appeal to our feelings more than our minds. In James 3, verses 14 and 15, but if you have bitter envying and strifes in your hearts, boast not and lie not against the truth. These wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. And in Jude 1, 17 to 19, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These are they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. So we need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to help us always watch if evil passion overcomes us. In Romans 12, verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And the good comes from the Holy Spirit. In Jude 1, 20 and 21, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life. The last one that we need to watch is watch if we are trifling and our influence to others is either a savor of death or life. In the home, our children look up to us as parents. But did you ever wonder if our influence to them will lead them to destruction or it will lead them to life? In our relationship with our wife, our husband, in our neighborhood, in our church, does our influence, our example, encourage people or rather give blessings? In John 13, verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus is our greatest example that we must follow. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, forever to these were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving as an example that you should follow his steps. We all know that we on our own cannot overcome all these temptations we have just spoken. But Jesus has not left us alone to do this by ourselves. He has provided a way that we can obtain help. Therefore, he had bid us to pray. When we pray, pray to God in faith for the very things we need. Go to our chamber or a secret place and ask our Father for Jesus' sake to help us. There is power in that prayer. When we pray sincerely from the heart, when we see our own weakness and are willing to change, praying without stopping day and night, earnestly longing for that strength that comes from God, He will answer our prayers. If we draw near to God, He will also.
Is it frozen for other people as well?
Yeah, it's gone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Looks like Errol's trying to do something. Let's give him a minute, see if they come back here.
As well?
You did, yes.
Yeah, I did. Oh, and there's... I better be quiet.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Errol, Beth, are you back? I think we lost you. I can see Errol still sharing.
Sorry. Oh, she should be back now.
Great, thank you.
All right. Sorry for that. Sometimes it happens. Okay. Prayer is the same when Errol is at work, he calls all the time. Prayer is the same. To have a relationship with God, we must call Him in prayer as much as we can. How many times we pray in a day? Sometimes we even forget to pray. Life without prayer, it is life without power. We must remember that we have no power to overcome any temptations ourselves. The only source of strength and power is through Christ, through prayers. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Faint not. Cast yourself at the feet of Jesus, who has been tempted and knows how to help such as are tempted. Jesus came for us also to overcome temptation like Him. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Plead your case before God through Jesus until your soul can with confidence rely upon Him for strength. And we feel that we are not left to do the work of overcoming alone. God will help us. The angels will watch over us. But before we can expect this help, we must do what we can on our part is to watch and pray. I want to end with a story. This is a true story that happened in 1937 in Oklahoma, the United States. There was a man by the name of Jan Griffith who worked as a train bridge operator in the mighty Mississippi River. And being a watchman also was a part of his duty. His job was to operate the controls in the control house. At certain times of the day, he was in charge of lowering and lifting the gate, the great bridge, which stretched over the river to allow the train to cross safely over. It was not automated in those time, so everything was solely dependent on the bridge operator. He literally had the daily responsibility of thousands of lives in his hand. John Griffith, on this particular day, brought his son into work with him. He had a new vision that his son someday will join him and take over the job. As they were enjoying having their lunch together, they were startled back to reality by the shrieking whistle of a distant train. Looking at his watch, in disbelief, John saw that it was already 1:07 p.m. Immediately, he remembered that the bridge was still raised and that the Memphis Express would come by in just minutes. In the calmest tone, he instructed his son, "Stay put." Quickly, he leapt to his feet. Then he jumped onto the catwalk. As the precious second flew by, he ran at full tilt to the stair ladder leading into the control house. The Memphis Express had on board 400 people, but he knew he had enough time for everything to still go smoothly. He reached the river to make sure there were no ships inside. With all the check done, the moment just before he had to operate the controls, he heard something so horrifying that his heart froze in his chest. He heard a cry of help from his son, Greg. Below him, in a massive gearbox where the gigantic gears that moved the bridge, was his beloved son. Apparently, Greg had tried to follow his dad, but he had fallen off the catwalk. Even now, his legs were wedged between the teeth of two main cogs in the gearbox. Then an even more horrifying thought flashed through Jan's mind. Lowering the bridge would mean killing the apple of his eye. Panic, his mind proved in every direction, desperately searching for a solution. In his mind flashed the idea of pulling his son out and saving him. But as soon as these thoughts appeared, he realized that it would be too late and the Memphis Express would surely perish with all passengers. Agonizing, frustration began to beat in John's brow, terror writing over every inch of his face. His mind darted here and there, vainly searching for another solution. Soon, the train would come roaring out of the trees with tremendous speed. But this was his son. His only son, his pride, his joy. All he could do is shout with all his might to his voice to get out, helplessly knowing he could not. While his son was crying out for him, John then shouted out that he loved him so much. He knew at that moment, there was only one thing he could do. He knew he would have to do it. And so, burying his face under his left arm, he plunged down the river. The cries of his son were quickly drowned out by the relentless sound of the bridge as it ground slowly into position. With only seconds to spare, the Memphis Express with its 400 passengers roared out of the trees and across the mighty bridge. everyone on board completely oblivious to the devastating sacrifice of the train, of the train bridge operator. John Griffith had saved the lives of hundreds that day, but his son was gone. It touched my heart when Errol read this story to us one evening in our worship time. I feel the deepest sadness this man felt. Our Father in heaven is our watchman. As soon as he saw we are disobeying the law that leads us to destruction, he gave his son to die and save us from all our sin and have hope for eternal life. Our Father in heaven does not want us to be destroyed. And this evening, he is asking of all of us to keep watching and praying as we not know the time. In Luke 21, verse 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. This is my prayer this evening, to keep watching and praying. May the Lord bless us all tonight.
Amen.
When the world has fallen quiet, you stand beside me. Give me a song in the night, and Jesus, I need you every moment. I need. Sing it out. Remember.